Thanks for joining me today. Please stay tuned to hear about an important fundraiser benefiting Sonoma County. That and more is coming up on The Wine Road.
It really was devastating to the community. You know, with our little winery, we had 4 of 11 employees that weren't so lucky. Yeah, it's really been pretty devastating. But this event is an opportunity, as well as all the other events in Sonoma County, to begin the healing and rebuilding process.
Their values of supporting community is a very, very important part of our goals here at Benoit. We're part of a community. We're not separate from them.
We do love it. I love it here. We love it here. We have a lot of club members that come and enjoy the patio on the weekends and watch the sun go down and, you know, enjoy a glass of wine or two.
Good afternoon. I'm Jeff Davis. Coming up, details on Rise Up Sonoma. It truly is a once-in-a-lifetime event which will benefit a great number of fire victims in our beloved community. Also, because Benovia Winery is one of the participating wineries, I thought I'd revisit my interview with owner Joe Anderson. He fell in love with Sonoma County later in life and has built his winery with a strong commitment to our community. In the second half hour, we'll take a trip down to Livermore Valley and chat with winemaker Mark Conti of McGrail Vineyards and Winery. Stick around. On the Wine Road is sponsored by Sonoma Clean Power. Choice, local control, competitive electricity prices. You can have it all. Sonoma Clean Power. Local, renewable, ours. By On Fire in Santa Rosa, where they carry outdoor kitchens, furniture, and grills for homes and businesses on Cleveland Avenue. And by Smothers European Volvo, a family-owned business since 1982 on the Corby Auto Row and SmothersEuropeanVolvo.com. Last week, I received a press release from Tony Lombardi Marketing regarding Rise Up Sonoma, which seemed like not only an important fundraiser benefiting the victims of our recent fires, but also a one-of-a-kind, not-to-miss event. Aside from Tony, two of the principals involved in putting this event together and promoting it are Dustin Vallette of Vallette Restaurant in Healdsburg and winemaker Mike Sullivan of Benovia Winery. I sat with all three on Thursday to get the details to pass on to you. So let's get right to it.
It's unfortunate that such an unexpected tragic event has to inspire an event such as Rise Up Sonoma, but it's heartwarming to see so many people getting involved to do what they can do to help rebuild and support the many victims. Chef, how was this fundraising idea first presented to you?
Well, when the fires first happened, we wanted to do something. We wanted to help out the community. And we sat back and we said, what's our skill set? I'm a chef. My job is to cook people and make them happy, bring them around a table and have that moment. And I figured, what's a better way than to celebrate the rebuilding of Sonoma County? So myself, Sam Blando, a bunch of us all got together and we said, let's throw a party to get people to relax, keep people excited about rebuilding Sonoma County. And that's where everything started. We're a bunch of people who do not usually do large events. We don't usually do these parties, but we wanted to showcase how strong Sonoma County is and how resilient we are.
If there was ever a time, this is the time.
Absolutely. This is the moment right now.
Did you escape the fires unscathed yourself?
We were very fortunate. We live here in Healdsburg. Again, we were very, very fortunate.
Mike, I understand, unfortunately, you suffered a loss with the fires.
I did, yeah. My home was destroyed up in Wickiup. But this tragedy in Sonoma County has really brought out the best in people. It's really amazing to see the generosity of our neighbors and the support that we're getting nationally. From guests coming into the area, we're continuing to see tourism pick up. And Sonoma County is incredibly strong, and we're excited about the future.
The wine community is always supportive of one another, and in a situation like this, where so many of our neighbors have experienced loss and also many co-workers have experienced it as well, it's no surprise the wine industry has joined forces with the food community to create this incredible evening to raise funds.
Yeah, we're one of 30 wineries that are going to be there for this event, and we're incredibly excited about it. We've got some incredible chefs from here in Sonoma County, from San Francisco, and just the outpouring of you know, love and giving is really heartwarming.
Dustin, a fantastic list of restaurants from San Francisco to Sonoma County have signed up. Notable names like Nopa, Bar Agricole, and 25 Lusk in San Francisco, Barn Diva, Dry Creek Kitchen, Farmhouse Inn, Zazu, and of course Vallette have all joined up. Just to name a few.
Yeah, so we put this together by doing 30 restaurants from San Francisco, 30 restaurants from Sonoma County, 30 wineries, and 30 farmers. And the idea is we all came together and said each, we'll have 30 little stations. So each station is just what you said. It's showcasing community. It's food, it's wine, it's a farmer. We all came together and we wanted to bridge the Sonoma County with San Francisco. If you look at San Francisco, all their food, all your high-end restaurants, it all comes from Sonoma County. This is the cornucopia of food. And we wanted to really showcase not just the wineries, not just the farmers, not just the restaurant. We wanted to come together. We wanted to break bread around one table. So at the event, you'll have 30 little mini satellite stations, and each station is showcasing the farmers, the wine that they grow up in the vineyard, along with the food, and each chef's doing a collaboration. So the chefs are working together and saying, we're going to take the food from this farmer, the wine from this winery, and we're going to make this just amazing little mini station. So when the guests come in, they can really go 30 different little mini satellite restaurants, if you will, and break bread with the principals of the winery, break bread with the chef of the restaurant, and the farmer themselves.
Can you share any interesting responses you received from some of the chefs you reached out to?
Absolutely. I mean, it's so much support. It's overwhelming. Like you said, the worst strategy comes the best humanity. It's seeing these people come together, seeing just Tracy Desjardins. I mean, she came up on, I think it was Thursday, 4 days after the fire, and she just walked in and said, what can I do? She didn't ask for accolades. She didn't want her name being used. She just said, what can I do? We have another big celebrity chef who's going to come join us on the event. We have another big celebrity chef who basically went out and said, look, I'm going to do a $350,000 donation and I'll match it dollar for dollar, whoever wants to put in. And the beauty is these people don't want to be named. They want to just be, they want to help. They don't want the PR. They don't want the accolades. They just want to help. And that's what we see in the restaurant industry. We see that in the wine industry. We see that in the community that we all live in, is people want to help out those in need. We all want to lend a hand. And it's inspiring as hell, to be honest with you.
And Mike, the list of wineries are of equal respect and quality, from your Bonovio Winery, Hirsch Vineyards, Kistler, Costa Brown, William Selyem, Three Sticks. The lineup is incredible. This is certainly going to be one of the greatest wine and culinary gatherings ever.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see what the chefs do with some of these pairings. You know, some of these wineries participate in very few events a year. So this is an opportunity, if you haven't had a chance to taste some of these wines, for the customers to really get out and embrace this event. You know, it's going to be a great time. There's going to be some amazing food. There are going to be some amazing wines and some amazing acts as well.
I imagine a number of employees of these wineries were also affected. That's the stories you hear. It's not necessarily personal, but everyone knows somebody who was affected by it.
Yeah, it really was devastating to the community. You know, with our little winery, we had 4 of 11 employees that weren't so lucky. It's really been pretty devastating. But this event is an opportunity, as well as all the other events in Sonoma County, to begin the healing and rebuilding process.
Aside from wineries and restaurants, some of the popular brewers and distillers will be on hand. They also are extremely generous in giving back to the community. They include Three Disciples Brewing, Bear Republic Brewing Company, Moonlight Brewing, Russian River Brewing Company, Sonoma County Distilling, and Spirit Works Distillery.
Dustin, I've been hearing about some incredible auction items in a silent auction and also some live auctions that are planned.
Absolutely. So the silent auction, we're doing 3 liters from all the wineries, which is fantastic. And then all the chefs got together and we came up with this great idea. We figured we'd do 60 date nights. Each one of the restaurants contributed a dinner for two at each one of the restaurants. So we'll have a special live auction, which will have 60 different dinners. And
to go with those dinners, the 30 wineries are each donating 2 bottles of wine. So you're going to have a special wine to go with each of those restaurant visits. And it's going to be spectacular.
Great. And that's just one of the 2 live auctions. So the other ones we're keeping kind of quiet. It's going to be kind of fun.
And that includes San Francisco and Sonoma, obviously.
Absolutely. So imagine that. I mean, for an entire year, you get date night. So if you did anything wrong, any mistakes you ever made, this is going to completely get you a doghouse for the next year.
And be a great surprise if you can make that a silent surprise to spring on your spouse, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
There are a number of charities that will be receiving the proceeds from this event, and they include Care Relief Fund, Redwood Credit Union's North Bay Fire Relief, and UndocuFund Fire Relief for Sonoma County. And there are some rebuilding charities, too, that will help people get back into their homes. They include Burners Without Borders, Homes for Sonoma, and Rebuild Wine Country. The event takes place at Sonoma County Day School's Jackson Theater on December 3rd from 4 to 9 p.m. And as you heard, it is a not-to-miss event. It's $500 for general admission and $1,500 for VIP. And I'm happy to hear that VIP is selling very well. There's only, it is limited to 100 guests. So that's nearing being sold out. So if you want to jump on that, make sure you do so soon. 650 seats for the general admission, and that's selling very well too. So if you're thinking about this, is it something that you would like to do to help out the cause? Don't wait too long before you make a move. Dustin, what's the website?
So it's riseupsonoma.org, one big long word.
Guys, you've done an admirable job getting everybody together for this important fundraiser, and I wish you a sellout.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jeff.
At this point, the live musical acts include the very successful fun party band, Cake, and musician-composer Donovan Frankenreiter. And listening to Chef Dustin talk about some of the unmentioned plans, there are going to be some unexpected experiences and goosebump moments that night. It truly is going to be an extraordinary afternoon and evening. It begins at 4 p.m. on December 3rd. Get most of the details, minus the surprises, at riseupsonoma.org. Thanks to Tony Lombardi, Dustin Vallette of Vallette Healdsburg, and Mike Sullivan of Bonovia Winery for their time and helping to create this important event. Up next, Bonovia Winery owner Joe Anderson, when On the Wine Road continues. This is FM News Talk KSRO. I'm Jeff Davis, and we are On the Wine Road. Since Bonovia Winery is one of the 30 wineries participating in Rise Up Sonoma, I thought this would be a good time to revisit my interview with Bonovia Winery owner, Joe Anderson. I spoke with him a couple of years ago when he was awarded honorary chair for Sonoma County Vintner's Sonoma Wine Country Weekend. He was honored for much of the work he does for our community. I asked him how he felt about that.
Well, I was shocked. You know, we're a rather new winery in this community, 10 years, vineyards for 12. And, you know, there are such fantastic people who have been in this business for a long time. And when they asked me to participate, I was really humbled by the request, but also knowing there was a lot of work to get done. So I was very happy to accept it.
From what I learned about you and your management style, it's your commitment to your craft that made you a prime candidate.
Yeah, I mean, it's... we look at the wine business as a long-term, precise business. I came out of the healthcare business, and we were very successful in the healthcare business because we looked at the healthcare business the same way. A very precise, long-term, no quick fixes. And so we approached the wine business the same way. And hiring a winemaker of Mike Sullivan's capacity and reputation was a big part of reflecting our goals to be a very, very precise, high-end winery.
Yeah, you chose your winery team, from what I understand, with clear intent to make them part of the family here at Bonovia. And even though that's become a cliche, you feel the people you chose fit well within the values which you and your wife were raised.
Yes. In fact, all the senior staff have a piece of the rock. They are long-term winery staff. Bob Cooley's family has been here since the mid-1800s. Bob is one of the finest wine salespeople in the country. Christy Simon, our CFO, has the precision and the accuracy to make sure our numbers are there, and we know how to make decisions. And their values of supporting community is a very, very important part of our goals here at Bonovia. We're part of a community. We're not separate from the community.
And the ones who instilled the hard work values in you, your parents, both you and Mary, is what led to the name of your winery.
Yes. You know, our parents grew up in the Depression. And so they had a very distinct, clear vision of what was important in life. They were very faith-based, both Catholics, both families were Catholics, and hard work was a very, very important value. And so Mary's family was farmers, and my dad, you know, had been a minor machinist. and then help people get work through the employment service. And so we brought those values, were instilled in us, and we brought those and carried us through our lives, and we were very, very successful.
Well, your entrepreneurial spirit and your passion for the wine industry is what inspired you to purchase a vineyard. And backing up just a little bit from what you were telling me, you would come here on visits, and then you were bike riding out here, and like a lot of people, you just were just in awe of the area and just couldn't resist.
That's correct. It's Sonoma County is a unique place in my mind. And, you know, all over the country we said we're unique. Well, right. this place, and Jeff, you know you live here, is blessed with such great climate, such great growing capacity. But it's very blessed with people of the earth, ethnic families here who were here for well over 100 years, and hardworking, hard-scrap people from Salter, just work in this county. And so that ethic really shows through this county. It's a diverse county, which we love. And, you know, that diversification of cultures, I think, even strengthens it more.
This winery has been a multiple of steps for you. Like when you first decided to move here, and first thing you did was buy a vineyard, right? And it was an old Pinot Noir vineyard that's still producing to this day.
Yeah, it was the old Cone Vineyard up off West Side Road. It sits up at about 600 feet overlooking the Santa Rosa Plain. And the flavor of that wine is so unique, and that's why I got in the wine business. Bert Williams, the founder and winemaker, William Selyem, had vineyard designated that vineyard back in 1987. And believe it or not, 3 years ago, I had a 1987 Cone Vineyard from Bert, and it was still delicious. My real estate person at the time said, if he finds a winery, he may come and talk to me. So 3 years later, he called me up and said, there's the Hartman Winery, a production winery of Cecil Deloche, is available. So I came down here, looked at the winery and the vineyards, and Cecil Deloche and I basically had a handshake deal, and I bought that. And then I hired some really, really smart people who knew the wine business, viticulturalists, soil people, lawyer, and production experts to figure out what to do with it. And then they turned me on to help us the search for a winemaker, and that's when I hired Mike Sullivan. It was just a glorious opportunity for us. And one of the deals that Mike wanted was a vineyard west of Sebastopol and in the coastal regions. And so we went on a project of 3 years, and we found the vineyard. He found the vineyard. I was in Germany on a health trade mission, and he called me and he said that he found it. And I talked to our other consultants and Mike, and we bought it. And those vineyards have been planted, the new vineyards have been planted to very close spacing. Heirloom clones, we have about 10 heirloom clones that we're using in our mix of fruit, which makes a very distinctive wine. Many wineries will use a couple, three. We use 10, plus the cone, which is an old Marsala. We don't know what's in there. It was planted in 1945, and whatever the nursery had, they planted. And so, but it makes for a great array of Pinot Noirs. As you know, Pinot reflects climate and soil more so than any other grape. And so when we taste through all the barrels, depends on what part of the vineyard it came from, what elevation it came from. It can be the very same clone, and it'll have different characteristics. It's just a fascinating business.
No doubt. And Joe, speaking of things close to your heart and passion, flying is one of them. Tell me about the Spirit of Benovia. What an interesting history that plane has had.
Yes. Flying was a passion of mine since I was a kid. I tried to get into the Air Force, but my eyesight was too bad, and they said I could become a navigator, but I don't think my math skills would have let me do that.
Or lack of.
That's what I meant. I was a pilot, and I always had the desire to have a DC-3 because of the very, very historical part that it played in our history as a country. This DC-3 I found through Oshkosh. We'd go there for the Oshkosh weekend, and we would stay at Vassar Aviation, and the pictures were on the wall of this DC-3. Mm-hmm. And when it became available, the history of this plane is it was built in Santa Monica, where they built the best DC-3s. It then was given to the Brits to fly the hump during World War II, which a very small percentage of those planes ultimately made it through the war. It was then used by Claire Chennault and Chiang Kai-shek as part of their China Tiger Airlines.
That's crazy.
And then when Chiang lost to Mao Zedong, this plane flew him to Formosa and then flew for Air America until 1955. And that was from 1949 to 1955. We've researched it back. My chief pilot has Jeff Kaufman. We've got the original N number that was awarded the plane in Hong Kong in 1949. And there's a gathering of Air America pilots coming up that we're going to be there, and we're going to take the plane, and we're hoping to find hopefully one of the crew or something who flew this plane in the 50s might still be alive.
That'd be great.
Well, you seem like a real airplane geek because you have all the details on your website. So anybody who's into that could spend at least a half an hour reading through it.
Yeah, it's a really an interesting thing. We use it for charity functions. People come up. Bid at wine auctions. They get a ride on the DC-3. We fly down to San Francisco. Air traffic control allows us to get down to about 500 feet, and we fly over the Golden Gate Bridge in Alcatraz. And where they're going, we're pouring Benovia wine and feeding them hors d'oeuvres. And it has an interior that was put in by a Texas oilman in 1955 that we've updated since, a Gulfstream-type interior. Big seats, nice comfort, and it's really a hoot to fly.
I had the extreme pleasure to enjoy a flight in the spirit of Benovia when Joe was gracious enough to let me give away 6 tickets to On the Wine Road listeners. What a treat that was. I'll need to see if he'd be willing to do that again. Joe Anderson of Benovia Winery. We're happy to have Joe and Mary here in Sonoma County. Up next, we travel down to the Livermore wine region to interview winemaker Mark Claren of McGrail Vineyards and Winery as we continue On the Wine Road. Welcome back to On the Wine Road here on FM News Talk KSRO. I'm Jeff Davis. Not long ago, I made my way down to Livermore Valley, a region steeped in winemaking history. I hope to get back soon to visit the iconic Wente and Con Cannon wineries. On this trip, I stopped in at the much newer McGrail Vineyards and Winery. They sit high atop a hill, providing 360-degree views of the valley. I sat with winemaker Mike Conti in their busy club room to learn about the family winery. I did read that owners Jim and Ginger McGrail started as wine grape growers, but like many, they decided to take the big step in making and bottling their own wine.
Yeah, that's true. They're very successful with the vineyard. The other wineries that were buying the fruit were vineyard designating it, and it was very successful, and Jim, being the competitive soul that he is, decided to get into making wine. And I'm thankful because it wasn't long after that that I met the family, and now I'm here.
I like the story online, though. They says after the first year, they made a barrel for themselves and some friends, and the next year they made 5 barrels, and then it was like, well, heck, let's just start making our own wine.
Yeah, that's true. I often, sort of joke around that the first vintage made the wine and Jim drank it all. but it's been a good family to work with and a good project to work on.
Did they bottle their own wine before they had the winery here? Because I saw that wasn't until 2008, which was about 9 years after they planted the vineyard.
Yes, they were bottling wines, at first making wine in other wineries like Rhonda Wood Family. And so they were bottling wines there. They did some with Dale Von Bowen at Crooked Vine. And then they did some, I think, through Wente, which I have a long history with Wente. And so we were bottling small amounts, even way back when. But really, the 2005 vintage, which came out in 2008, coincided with the birth of the building that we're sitting in and the tasting room and all that. So that's really what kicked off the brand.
Well, that timing worked out well. And then I see that little by little some family members have joined in, so it's a kind of a true family-run business now.
Absolutely. Heather McGrail, the oldest daughter, runs the operations. And Shannon McGrail, her younger sister, is running the tasting room now. Ginger McGrail's the chief financial officer. So it's truly a family operation.
And today, your granddaughter is here. So it just adds to that story.
That's correct. So now between the McGrail family and my family, we're trying to figure out who's going to be my replacement someday.
You stated you've worked elsewhere outside of Livermore. Tell us about some of those places.
Sure. Well, I actually started working for the Wente family here in Livermore, which has a big vineyard operation in Monterey County. And then I moved on to Bonnie Dune Vineyard in Santa Cruz, where we were sourcing fruit from many areas in California, from as far south as Santa Ynez up to, say, Dry Creek Valley, and even actually Mendocino County for things like Zinfandel and Carignan. And then after that, I spent some time working in the Napa Valley. And between Bonnie Dune and my Eastern Washington exposure as well, I feel like I've had a pretty good, I've gotten to know the vineyards of the area quite well.
As a winemaker, do you find that there are certain types of climates and soil that you gravitate to? Did you have a preference, a favorite area? And how does Livermore relate to all that?
Well, I absolutely think, you know, the cliche of, you know, vineyard site and grape variety combination is super important, and it's boring, but it's true. I mean, that's just all there is to it. But I think that Livermore has its own unique climate, but it's not really unlike other, you know, more famous and highly touted vineyard areas. It's just we're less known for some reason, but we're definitely a Mediterranean climate. We have our gravelly soils, we have our heavier clay soils, we have our you know, elevations. You know, we get up to 1500 feet in elevation in some areas, and I just think we're just less known than Napa Valley, Sonoma Valley, and now Paso Robles, which is doing a great job of marketing themselves. So but I'm very pleased to be in Livermore Valley. I think it's something that, a place that really grows high-quality wine grapes.
As Monty Paulson was telling me a little while ago, it's very similar to like Sonoma back in the 70s, a little quieter here, and I guess maybe that's why, but you certainly have a long history with Wente being here.
Absolutely. I think he's right. I think Sonoma is a good relationship as far as weather and climate, but we are a little quieter, and Wente and Concannon started in 1883, but we actually started growing grapes in 1849 commercially in the Livermore Valley. It was before my time.
Even with that gray beard, it was before your time, huh?
Yes, believe it or not.
Winemaker Mark Conti at McGrail Vineyards and Winery in Livermore Valley. They spell that McGrail. McGrail. As you can hear, their wine club and patrons enjoy the space and the outdoor activities there. We'll learn about the wine they craft when I continue with Mark on the Wine Road. We're back on the Wine Road here on FM News Talk, KSRO. I'm Jeff Davis. I'm down in Livermore Valley, southeast of Oakland, visiting McGrail Vineyards and Winery. I'm talking with their winemaker, Mark Conti. With the warmer climate in Livermore Valley, Cabernet Sauvignon is their flagship wine, but he crafts a list of other varieties as well.
Yes, well, the one of them is Chardonnay, and Ginger McGrail loves Chardonnay, and so when we first met, she said, she asked me, can you make Chardonnay? And I said, of course I can. I mean, I have made many Chardonnays. I said, what style do you want? And then we went from there. And so we make a barrel fermented Chardonnay. It's the oaky buttery style. It's the style that Ginger really loves. And I actually do as well. So it's easy for me to do. my philosophy on winemaking is simple. I make wines that I want to drink. So, but we also make Merlot. We have a rosé of Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon. We have Sauvignon Blanc, which I think has a long history in Livermore Valley and does really well. And then we just bought another little vineyard about half a mile from here that has some Portuguese varieties on it. So I'm looking forward to making Tarriga Nacional and Sozal as probably as port. And then we also have a little Tempranillo. So, you know, we're having some fun with some blends and things like that.
Well, your red blend, the Seamus Patrick, is almost a Bordeaux blend, but you throw a little Petit Syrah in there.
Yeah, I did. It was one of those things. We're definitely moving the Seamus towards the classic Bordeaux or Meritage wine, as it were. But I had this Petit Syrah, and it really fit in. I felt like it really smoothed the wine out and just made it the perfect little addition to the blend and made it just delicious.
I love hearing that when you're talking with winemakers, how 1 or 2% can make a big difference in the wine's overall flavor.
No, you're absolutely correct there. It blows me away, actually. You know, you would think you could, you know, hide 2% of something into your blend. There's no hiding wine in your blend. You know, if you don't blend for, you know, quality and a great experience, you won't get it. So, you know, don't mess up, you know.
The McGrails use some interesting names for their wines, like the Seamus Patrick, James Vincent, Tarantino, Peyton Page. Are those vineyards, or where do those names come from?
Well, the C. Tarantino is a vineyard, so it's a vineyard-designated Cabernet Sauvignon. But Seamus Patrick is the oldest grandson of Jim and Ginger McGrail. James Vincent is actually Jim McGrail. And then Austin James is Shannon's boy. Peyton Page is Jimmy and Rachel's first two girls. It's the first name of one and the second name of the other one. And now we have a Charlie Ray Chardonnay, which is Shannon's daughter. And so I sort of joke around because Heather just had a baby. And I said, oh, we have a new label on the way, you know. So.
Is it a boy label or a girl label?
Well, in this case, this one's a boy label. And we do have her daughter, Kylie Ryan Rosé. So we try to just, you know, name things after the family and keep it a family operation.
This is probably the most family winery business that I've come across when it comes to naming wines after the family members.
Yeah, you know, I would say that's true with me too. I don't know of other people doing as much as we do, but it makes it feel comfortable for me, you know, and I feel like whenever you think of family and, you know, getting together and then honoring the family members, I just think it's a really great family. I can't say enough.
He's lucky to be considered part of that close-knit family. Winemaker Mark Conti of McGrail Vineyards and Winery in Livermore Valley. We'll hear a little bit more about the winery and how much he loves it there when On the Wine Road continues. You're listening to 1350 AM and 103.5 FM News Talk KSRO. I'm Jeff Davis, and this is On the Wine Road. I'm talking with winemaker Mark Conti of McGrail Vineyards and Winery, and I asked him why we in the Sonoma and Napa area should pay a visit to Livermore Valley.
Well, I would say, number one, we have 50 wineries in Livermore, so, and there's a wide variety of wine styles. So if you're into wine and you really like to experience a new region, I think that's a good reason. I think we're a high-value wine region because our price points are a little bit better than, you know, say, Napa Valley, which, you know, can be quite pricey. And so that's a thing. And then I really, truly believe that we have some high-quality wines in Livermore Valley that are coming out of here. You know, I could name off 10 wineries and just, you know, that I think are making great wines. And so we have beautiful views, and we're close to we're close. We're not that far away.
Kind of reaching back now. You mentioned Chardonnay. Can you grow Chardonnay around here?
Believe it or not, we grow Chardonnay pretty well here. It's I know Pinot Noir is maybe a challenge because of, you know, it is a little bit warmer climate, you know, than you'd want for Pinot Noir. But Chardonnay is an interesting thing. And, you know, the Wente clone of Chardonnay, which is actually brought from France by the Wente family, is the most widely planted clone of Chardonnay still in California. And so I think it does well in a lot of different climates. But my experience with that is, you know, when you get into Monterey County, it takes on a little bit different characteristic than it does in the Livermore Valley. And so I feel like Livermore Valley, like Sonoma Chardonnay or even Dry Creek, get a little bit more of, you know, the apricot, peach, that type of thing, maybe a little tropical fruit. Whereas when I get down to Monterey County, it's more pears and apples and that sort of thing. And I think that's really an unusual and interesting thing about Chardonnay.
Yeah, I heard once that Chardonnay is the one variety that takes on the profile of the winemaker's choice.
Well, that is true, I think, because there are so many wine styles. So, you know, from everything from a Chablis style Chardonnay, where you ferment it cold in stainless steel, maybe pick it a little bit earlier than others. And, you know, that, so you take that from that spectrum all the way to, you know, picking it ultra ripe and barrel fermenting it and getting, you know, the secondary fermentation, getting some butter and, you know, those types of things, and actually oak flavor, you know, and then there's everything in between. Some people ferment a little bit in stainless, a little bit in barrel, blend it later. There's all different ways of making Chardonnay, and it is the most popular selling wine in the United States.
It's hanging in there, isn't it?
It sure is.
Well, this looks like a fun play, as it certainly has a good crowd here today, and this is a nice club room that you have in the back here, outdoor activities as well, so must be fun to work here, and continued success to you, and I appreciate you coming in on a Saturday.
Oh, yeah, well, thank you. We do love it. I love it here. We love it here. We have a lot of club members that come and enjoy the patio on the weekends, and we have events throughout the summer, and when the weather gets better, we do Friday night tapas tasting and tunes, and watch the sun go down and, you know, enjoy a glass of wine or two and some food and some friends. I'm so fortunate to live in an area that fits my lifestyle.
The laid-back, happy-as-a-clam Mark Conti, the winemaker at McGrail Vineyards and Winery. We'd all be quite fortunate to feel as happy and content with our employment as he is with his. Of course, a lot of long-tenured winemakers have such a sentiment. And it's always a pleasure to talk with them. That brings this show to a close. Find my past interviews at onthewineroad.com, as podcasts on iTunes and other platforms as On the Wine Road Podcast, and more on Facebook. I post some interesting photos on Instagram at JD Wine Road, and I'm on Twitter at JD Wine Road. Stay tuned for Grape Encounters with David Wilson. You're invited to join me again next Saturday for another adventure on the Wine Road. I'm Jeff Davis.